Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. This is Yvette Hampton and I am back with Rochelle Nelson.
Hello. Oh,
hi, it's so good to have you here. This is fun. If you're watching this on YouTube, you actually get to see that we are together in the studio. Usually we have our split screen.
No split screen.
We're together face to face and this is super fun.
It is.
2 microphones.
Yes, this is a new thing for me, for sure.
Yeah. Well, this is great. You are a natural.
Oh.
Behind the microphone. It's very fun. It took me so long to get my podcasting wheels on. I feel like oftentimes I'm still learning and trying to figure out what I'm doing. But the first several that we did, I felt like were just a train wreck. But people were gracious and they
kept
listening.
Endeavor, so. Yeah. No, you do great.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. All by God's grace, because I'm telling you, it's not anything I ever aspired to do was to be a podcaster.
Isn't that funny how that works out? Yeah.
Well, especially since podcasting wasn't like a thing when we were going.
True. Yes.
But it's fun. I love doing this podcast. I love it because I love the responses that we get from people and to know that it's impacting lives. I love to know what the Lord is doing through the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry. It's very exciting to be part of that.
So it's so neat.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can reach so many.
We can, yes.
It's so amazing.
So many across the nation, around the world. I mean, it's really neat to see where our listeners come from and get to hear from people from all over.
Right. Yes.
It's fun. So thank you guys for listening. We love having you join us and be part of our day. And we love being part of your day. And if there is ever anyone that you want to hear from on the podcast or topics you would like us to discuss, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. And we will do our best to get those guests on or tackle those topics. So they're fun. But we're back with Rochelle and we are talking about Mama Care.
Mm-hmm.
Mama Care. We're talking about the importance of taking care of ourselves. And so as we talked in the first episode, we have the practical side of it where, we of course just take care of our physical selves.
Right.
But deeper than that is the spiritual side of taking care of ourselves. And so we talked about relationships and how to be real and vulnerable with our husbands and with our friends. And that's a hard thing to do. And I think
it is.
Yeah. Oftentimes, when we think about self-care, we think about focusing just on ourselves. And social media, it can be very dangerous, I think, when it comes to our image of ourselves. We forget who we are in Christ because we see who everyone else is and who we think everyone else is, but they aren't really.
Right. Yeah. I call that the optical illusion of life.
Yep.
We're not getting the whole picture. The highlight reel that that so many talk about with social media. And also for me personally, not that I don't get, trapped by that sometimes, but it's just my own idea of what I picture, for years I wanted to be, all I wanted to be was a mom.
Yeah.
And then I've always known I wanted homeschool. So I certainly had my own picture of what that was going to look like. And I was much more patient in that, all those things. So I think sometimes we battle our own idea of what it's supposed to look like, just as much as we battle, what we're seeing everyone else's highlights of.
Right.
So, and it's just we're not seeing the whole picture of it.
Right. And then it causes disappointment because we don't live up to our own expectations of our fantasy world. Mm-hmm. I think we've all gone into every major part of our lives. I know I have, with expectations. I remember going into marriage and I had this visual of what, like you said, what it was going to look like and how our home was going to be run and, how just what our relationship was going to look like. And when it didn't look like that, I was like, what in the world is this?
Right.
This is not how it is in the movies. This is not how
how I pictured everything being. I didn't picture myself throwing a bowl of macaroni and cheese at my husband. I did that actually that, once.
That was not in the dreams.
That was not in my dreams. I don't do that anymore.
See?
Growth. But 26 years ago when I was quite young and very immature. Yeah, that's another story, but it's pretty funny. He upset me for some reason. I'm sure it was probably something I did to really make him mad, which...
And yet he got the mac and cheese.
And then he got the mac and cheese. Yeah, I had to clean it. Anyway, that's a different story. But you know, we have these ideas of what we think it should look like. And then when it comes to homeschooling and parenting...
Right, same thing.
It's the same thing. Our kids are going to act a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
our homeschool's going to look a certain way. And then when it comes to taking care of ourselves, we also have this image and fantasy of what we think it's going to look like. And we think we deserve something maybe different than what we actually
have.
Right. And that's hard.
It is hard. It is hard. And I think that we have to remember that it's not about us. And that seems like an easier thing to say than to do. But it's so easy for us to get caught in that selfish trap because the world tells us you do deserve that time away. You deserve that pedicure.
Right.
You deserve, you know, X, Y, Z, that vacation, that time away. You've worked hard. You've put in your time. You deserve it.
Right.
But the reality is we don't really deserve it. We don't deserve any of it. And all we need is Christ. You know, all of those, like I was saying, was those moments of surrender.
Yeah.
It's just the more in habit of turning our eyes to Him, you recognize that that's all you need because that's all you want. I mean, it sustains us.
Right.
We will never be satisfied if all we're seeking is something that's only going to satisfy us, you know, selfishly. It's all going to be short term.
Yeah.
So I think reminding ourselves of that, that it's not really going to last. It's not real.
Right.
Helps. It doesn't make it easier. You know, you still want those. And there's nothing wrong with wanting a little time away or wanting a pedicure or wanting those things, but that needs to be secondary. We have to make sure that we are I like the phrase of turning our eyes to Christ, because for me, that's what it is. I have to just physically get that visual of me stopping going down this crazy train of all my lists. I'm an agenda person. I kind of wired that way. And I have to just redirect. I have to physically redirect myself into those little moments. And remember that it's not about me and that it may seem like that's what I want. In that moment, what you want is that time alone or that time away. But it's an escape. It seems harsh to compare it to an addiction, but I think so often it can be. And I think the world is in that habit of thinking they need that me time.
Right.
And what do you want? Just more me time. I mean, you're never going to be satisfied if you're not coming to Christ, if you're not truly going to the true source of rest.
Yeah.
Which rethinking rest is another kind of practical thing. Several years ago, Matt was coming home from work and he was just realizing that dinner time rush and then bedtime, which bedtime I feel like it's the dreaded task by all parents,
our home too.
It's like, bedtime, you know? Because you just want to get to the end. At the end is your rest, right? At the end is that time.
Yes.
The house is quiet, the kids are to bed and you have your moment, you know, that quiet time. And that's the goal that we're all trying to get to. And there's nothing wrong with that goal. Mm-hmm. It's a good goal. But if we don't enjoy all of the in-between, if we're living for that end goal, look what we've lost. We've lost that mealtime with our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we've lost the joy that we can be found in bedtime. Mm-hmm. And so after, you know, a while of my husband being convicted of, I need to stop rushing through dinner and bedtime. And his phrase was, I need to learn how to find rest just at the crazy dinner table. And I'm going to learn how to find rest in our bedtime routine. Mm-hmm. And so it's a choice, just like all things are, you know, we have a choice. We can choose to figure out how that can be. And it's just a choice of realizing that I'm going to find the joy in this moment.
Yeah.
And you know, when the kids are loud at the table or when I have to correct bad eating habits or whatever, in those little moments, I'm going to redirect myself back to Christ. I'm going to remember this moment that matters. And I'm going to put value on that. And you'll be rested. I mean, it's kind of a miracle. I mean, somehow amongst all of that, because you've made the priority, He gives you rest.
Right.
But it's continuous, you know, think about your day as a mom. It just never ends.
Right.
And we have to counter that with this never ending
Right.
Learning to redirect ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I love that you're talking about the intentionality of finding joy in those moments that we know are inevitable.
Right.
We are always going to have mealtime because we have to feed our kids. Right. We are always going to have bedtime. We are always going to have our morning routine and our lunchtime and our school time and all the things that take up our day. And it is true. I mean, you're absolutely right. You hit it right on the head that there are so many days where I just feel like I just want to get to the end.
To the end, right.
I cannot wait to lay my head down on that pillow and read a book or, you know, just rest finally. And I lose sight of the moments that we have with our children, with our husbands, because we're tired. It's exhausting.
It is exhausting. And, you know, another practical thing is not taking on more than we need to. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a world where busy is praised.
Right.
The busier you are, that's the bigger prize.
Right.
You know, the more things you're involved in.
Yeah.
And that's a lie. Yeah. You know, that's a lie. So there's so much of that we have to learn to filter through ourselves and and to not take on the things that we shouldn't be taking on.
Right.
But you're going to have to take on dinner. You're going to have to take on bedtime. Right. You know, those aren't going to go away. So it's finding little ways to learn to rest in those moments because they're not going to go anywhere.
Yep. Yep. Let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Rochelle, and we're talking about rest, about being intentional and finding joy in the difficult times. I want to kind of transition into talking about really practical ways as moms to step away from the busyness, because I think that that's important as well. Mm-hmm. We do need to find ways to, and I won't say have me time, but have times where we can breathe a little bit. And I know for myself, even sometimes just if I have to go run an errand, going by myself.
I'm a personal fan of driving.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I just love, you know, not everyone likes to drive, but if you're someone who likes to drive, in fact, even when the kids are with me, the car is almost like my sacred time. I don't want the questions in the car. I like to turn on, you know, it's a good time for me to worship.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a little tip right there, like figuring out if there's little things like that, that you can kind of plug into. But I do love the car. I love going for a drive, especially by myself.
Yes. Yes. It is. It is so refreshing to get to have those times. Taking a bath. You know, sometimes that is something even after the kids go to bed, just putting, you know, lighting some candles, putting on some nice music and just taking a bath, taking a book with you, doing whatever, and just having some time to just be quiet.
Right.
And, you know, maybe sometimes that is escaping and talking to a friend that you haven't talked to in a long time.
Right. And for some people, you know, I am an extrovert. Mm-hmm. So although I do like some complete quiet. You know, I often in the most regenerated, if I can, talk to a friend or just kind of have a moment to chat, that often does a lot for me when it comes to, you know, refueling and recharging my batteries. So you kind of have to think about what it is that makes you tick and, you know, try to carve out some time for that. And that's another time we were talking about communicating with our husband and being open about those things. If he doesn't know that you're needing that, he can't help make that happen. So that's important to be talking about those things.
Yeah. I think oftentimes as friends, that's where friends can come really together and support one another. You know, you take my kids for a day so I can just go have time to do whatever.
A couple hours.
You know, watch a whole movie by myself or, right. you know, have coffee or go shopping or do whatever it is that I need to do. And then I'll take your kids for a day. And that's where community comes in.
Right.
And that can be so valuable. But sometimes we have to ask. We have to be willing to just say, I need help.
And that's so hard.
It is hard.
Needing help is so often perceived as weakness.
Right.
And we just feel that's where that failure lie whispers to us. Well, if you can't do this on your own, if you're needing help, then you're missing the mark somewhere.
Right.
And it's just realizing that, no, you're being wise to recognize and to be willing to ask.
Sure.
And so often the blessing is going to be double. The person you're asking, you know, it gives them an opportunity to serve. I also find that something that I think people struggle with, finding ways to practically help people because we're not, you know, back in the day, it used to be so much easier.
Right.
There was a more of a natural give and take of helping amongst neighbors and community than there is now. I think it's kind of remarkable that you can live in a cul-de-sac or a small town and you've never borrowed sugar from your neighbor. Or you've never, you know, like those things that used to be so common really aren't anymore. So it does take stepping out of your comfort zone for a lot of people.
Sure.
But I think more often than not, whoever you're asking for help is going to be so happy to help you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're providing a blessing for someone else, you know, a way for them to be blessed.
Yes. Or ask your mom.
Ask your mom.
if mom lives in town or, you know, maybe a close friend from church, reach out to them and just say, you know, I need a break. When my youngest was 2-3 years old, those were really difficult years for me. She was very high maintenance. She required a lot of my attention. Yeah. And at that time, Garrett was working a lot. And so I wasn't a single mom, praise the Lord, but there were times where I felt like I was kind of playing the single mom role. And so we talked about this at our mom's night last week. We had a homeschool girl, teenage girl, who lived down the street from us. Mm-hmm. And she would come over to my house for a couple hours every week. And she would just play with my girls. She didn't do my housework for me. And sometimes I would clean the house.
Right.
I would put on headphones and I would just clean because I couldn't do all of those things.
Well, and it's sometimes I love to clean. So it can be therapeutic for me.
Yes.
You know, watch my kids, let me go clean.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Be able to do that.
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes I would go grocery shopping or, you know, go have coffee with a friend and she would just come over and it was so refreshing. And I mean, I paid her, I think she charged me like $5 an hour and I would give her a little bit more than that because that was a ridiculously low amount of money. But it was worth anything I could pay her to be able to come and and give me that break for a little bit.
So I call that a mommy helper.
Yeah.
And I first heard about this, 10 years ago or so. But I was living in a Mennonite community and I quickly noticed that my neighbors who were Mennonite, they had different teenage girls coming. So I asked them, what is this? You know, and they explained to me, like as if they were surprised that I didn't have one, you know? And so I was like, they're on to something here. Yeah. And so pretty much since then I've had somebody that comes, right now it's a good friend of mine, but in the past it's been, a teenager that comes and they can just, whatever the need is. And so again, like reaching out and finding out what's going to help you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really enjoy a clean house. And so for me being able to have that day that I can kind of count on, like my house is going to be in one piece on this day because I have someone coming to help is huge for me. But for somebody else, it might mean playing with the kids so you can go craft or, you know, run errands or, you know, whatever it is that's important to you. Mm-hmm. Another thing is scheduling it on the, like scheduling it, especially if you're introverted, because I think it's easy to, as that day gets, you know, close, or I don't know, I just feel like it's harder to make yourself go and do something with people or go have your, you know, a chance to breathe. Yep. So scheduling it, and then, you know, your husband knows it's coming and everyone knows, but it can become a pattern and you can look forward to it.
Yeah.
So that's helpful if you know it's coming.
Sure. And that becomes such a blessing for those young girls as well.
Yes.
Brooklyn, my oldest, she has been a mommy helper several times for different moms, and they've got little kids, and it has been great training for her. Mm-hmm. One, for motherhood, but two, for babysitting. You know, she now is at the age where she can babysit on her own,
right?
And she has gotten a ton of practice by.
And it gives them a taste of being in someone else's house too, and you know, just. Because chances are going to pick somebody that's like-minded.
Right.
And so they're getting to see the same things that mom has been teaching me.
Right.
Lived out in another mom.
Right.
You know, and that's so neat to watch.
Yep. Yep. Again, it's that Titus 2 woman.
Yes.
Coming alongside our daughters, us being that Titus II women to other girls in our community. Mm-hmm. And so that is a fantastic option. In our last few minutes, I want to talk about the importance of health and taking care of mm-hmm. our health, because we've got the practical side of caring for ourselves physically, and then we've got the spiritual side. And of course, on the physical side of it comes health. And that is something mm-hmm. I've shared this on the podcast so many times. I struggle so much with this because health typically comes in the form of food and exercise. I mean, that's
right. That's what most people what think
makes
of.
Us
sure.
healthy. Food, I don't like.
You don't get excited. By
I don't
food.
Get excited yeah. about food. I'm not a foodie. I'm just not. The thought of having to plan meals for my family and cook and stuff, I really try to enjoy it. And I don't dread it. I just don't love it.
Right.
I'm grateful.
So having a teenager come and prep meals might be helpful for you.
Oh, that would be a dream. So I have said many times, my greatest dream would be to have a personal chef
yeah.
come in and prepare healthy meals for my family 3 times a day. I'll do everything else.
Right.
But if I could help someone do that thing, that would be amazing. But that's not likely ever to happen. And that's okay. And then exercise, I feel like is hard. It's hard to find time to exercise. But it's so important for us as moms.
Well, I think for me, just keeping moving, just movement, mm-hmm. you know, I kind of tend to go back, not that I'm against any organized exercise or, you know, being in a class, but I do kind of remind myself, back in the day, people weren't in some exercise class, you know, but they were busy at home. And if you think about all the things that you do at home mm-hmm. to stay busy, you're getting a lot of movement and there's a lot of health there. So sometimes it's, just giving yourself a little slack. And you don't have to be that mom that's getting up at 5 a.m. and doing her 20-minute workout and then running in the afternoon. That's some people. Mm-hmm. But as long as you are being mindful of, you know, what you're doing, I think that qualifies.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think, you know, again, it's looking at somebody else's picture.
Right.
Just seeing that one aspect of it. And often sometimes it's the area that we struggle in, you know. If you get new shoes, what do? You start noticing everyone else's shoes. You know, when you're pregnant, all of a sudden everyone is pregnant.
Right.
So it's the same thing. If we struggle with something, we look around us and suddenly we think we're the only ones not getting up at 5 exercising.
Yeah.
And the same with food, you know, just being mindful of it and recognizing that it is important. You know, our sleep's important.
Yes. Sleep is a good one.
And that's a hard one for me because I am a night owl and then I have little kids. So between the two, I feel like I'm never getting enough sleep, but it's a season. And as long as I'm mindful of it and I recognize if I'm cranky and it's because mm-hmm. I haven't slept, I need to recognize that in myself and know that I might be more short that day with the kids. Yeah. And it might mean a lot more of me redirecting myself that day.
Do you ever find opportunities to take naps during the day?
I hate napping.
Really?
Now my mom was a faithful napper.
Really?
She napped every day.
You don't like it because you don't like the way it makes you feel?
I feel worse. And I have a hard time mm-hmm. napping. Like just getting myself, you know, when I'm pregnant, it's different. I'm napping mm-hmm. right. all the time, you know? It's like, I need the toothpicks.
Yes.
But no, normally I feel worse.
Yep. That's how Garrett is. But I can take a 15 or 20 minute power nap.
Yeah.
I can literally sleep. I can just lay down. I rarely do it. I mean, when I say
resting your eyes, that's what my grandpa always said.
I maybe take a power nap every 3 months, but there will come a day where I'm just like, I'm so tired. I cannot keep my eyes open. And I can lay down for 15 or 20 minutes.
But again, if you're someone that needs a nap, like growing up, I used to kind of pick on my mom for her nap. Like, you know, I saw it as a weakness, really, if I'm being honest.
Right.
But that was, you know, so silly. She recognized, you know, she was up early and she stayed up pretty late, really, mm-hmm. considering how early she got up. And that was, she knew that if she had her nap, she was going to function a lot better. So, you know, it's important to learn those things about ourselves.
Sure.
So,
yeah, important stuff. So, well, we are out of time, but tomorrow we are going to come back and we're going to talk about co-ops. And this is an exciting topic for me because I'm excited to be in your co-op right now that the Lord has called you to start. You started it several years ago. And so we're going to talk about how to start a co-op, what that looks like, why you started the one that you have started that we're in, and just bring some encouragement because we tell people all the time, if there's not a co-op or something like that in your area, start one. And so this will answer the questions on how you guys can do that. So Rochelle, thank you so much for joining me and talking about Mama Care. We will be back tomorrow to talk more about co-ops. And until then, have a great rest of your day. We'll see you then. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.